Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to another episode of Deliberate Practice on USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. And joining me, as he does every week through the season, is Andy Ryland. Andy, great to have you here and be talking about things that can help coaches and players get better throughout the season.
No doubt, Coach, is the best part of my week, getting to talk some ball here in the office and hopefully get out to those coaches out there and humbly, hopefully provide some usable information as we close in on the end of the season, big rivalry games or that final playoff push. We're finding a little thing that can make the difference.
Right, and when you get to this time of the year, you could fall into that trap of, the everyday drill or just doing the same things that you've done all season long. But now, as you get into this last part of the season, as you head into the playoffs, it's really about refining things. And in order to refine things, it's really about asking the right questions and really solving the right problems for your players.
100%. I mean, we want to make sure, kind of like we were talking about last week, if we're trying to be as precise with our time as possible, are we doing the absolute right things for our players? And, football coaches are renowned for watching film. It's one of the things that we probably do more than any other sport, just due to the nature of our game and the huddle and these quick, sharp 6-second plays we can evaluate. But are we evaluating always the right thing that maybe let us down? And then does that mean our practice is mimicking that area that we need to get better at? So, we kind of were chatting earlier. There's kind of four major errors that we most often see player execute, and we as a coach need to be really aware of those so that we're putting the error, it's not just a negative on a piece of paper, right? It's we're identifying the error so we can choose the appropriate solution. And using the medical term, are we dosing the right thing to solve the situation at hand?
Yeah, and Andy, for the purpose of this podcast, what do you see as the four major errors overall that we're trying to solve?
Yeah, so and this is an idea that I had taken from a podcast I had heard and then added kind of one of my own. So we kind of have the physical error, the technical error, the tactical error, and the perceptual error. And real quick, I'll go through those. So most football coaches are very comfortable with the technical error, meaning something in our technique was not quite right, and we think that's why we got beat on the play, because we didn't execute that technique correctly versus the opponent. The tactical error is a little bigger, a little more wide-ranging, where, we're teaching our plays and we're deep into the season, but sometimes you find yourself asking, does the athlete really know what we're trying to accomplish? And maybe it's why his role is so important and he needs to continue to execute this thing. So think about the slanting defensive end, and he's going to penetrate inside into the B gap, but it's zone away, and he slants into the B gap and then gets upfield instead of chasing the B gap and staying in the B gap. Well, does he really understand tactically what we're trying to accomplish and why it's important, or does he just think the slant is for him to get in the backfield and do something great? The perceptual error is kind of when are our players seeing and reacting to what's in front of them? And to steal your line, which I absolutely love and have used all over the country, it's more than a line on a piece of paper. Quarterbacks are probably the best example where, there are our shot caller out there, there are field general, they know everything, but sometimes they get a misread. Sometimes they don't see, the defender hanging in the flat or trying to high-low you or do something tricky. So are we seeing the right things? Are we processing the information? And then there's the physical error. And I don't mean that as far as like, you've got to get tough or you got to anchor down on the bull rush. But sometimes there's physical limitations to our players. I was talking with a high-level coach this weekend, and they were talking about a player on their team that had a nagging ankle injury. that ankle injury was really hurting their ability to sink, really flex, and get into really low pad level positions. So this player was struggling on their level two tackles. For those not familiar with the system, we're talking about our lower body thigh level tackles, just because they couldn't really bend and get down there. So the best fix for that athlete was actually the coach went to the strength and conditioning staff and the athletic trainers, and they were, you know, trying to work on some step ups, some flexibility, some soft tissue work, and trying to get that ankle back to movement. So when you see a bad play on film, you know, was it a technical issue? Was it tactical? Did they not see something? Was it perceptual? Or is there a physical limitation this athlete has that we need to try to address, you know, as part of practice or part of our training cycle to make sure the athlete is able to do what we're asking them? Or as a coach, do we need to be able to modify their technique or responsibility based on what they're able to do in the kind of the unique individual physical body?
Yeah, Andy, I want to focus a little bit on that physical, because really just came up last night. Every week I work with a high school quarterback, and we go over the opponent game film, and we talk about what the game plan is and look for indicators in coverage. We look at personnel and some people he might be able to take advantage of, or techniques he might be able to take advantage of. And in particular, you know, we are watching this team that they play a lot of quarters, but they'll also rotate into some form of cover three. And, you know, we really determined that everything the boundary guy was doing was going to show you the coverage pre-snap. We picked up things in his stance where he has a way more forward lean. If he's coming forward, leaning backwards, if he has to backpedal and he's getting into quarters. We even looked at when he rolls to the middle of the field, the opportunity that opens up because of kind of the stiffness in this particular player's hips, you know, and we identified them by number and looked at the opportunity, saw other teams just honestly not taking advantage of it, and talking about, you know, the physical limitations of the way they're asking this player to play and what he's actually capable of doing. And if he's rotating the middle of the field, does not have the ability, or has not developed the ability really, to open up his hips and transition from moving from that side into a back pedal and then having to close back to where he came from. He has to take several steps before he's able to make his break. And it's a huge opportunity to be able to hit a seam right behind where this guy is coming from. I mean, in general, you see that, but in particular, this athlete that we're watching really can't do that. And so, you know, when you look at that on film, you might tack that up to a physical error, but there's a lot of things that have to go into, you know, maybe this guy needs to work a little bit on his hip flexibility. Maybe there's some things we need to do with that. Maybe we need to teach him a little bit more to initiate that kind of movement. And it happens all the time. Those things escape us. I mean, I could think of a college team that I worked for, and I noticed like most of our skilled athletes actually had a problem cutting properly, making sharp cuts in the way that they would place their foot, in the way that they would keep their power and stay within their framework and not get overextended. And we actually, as we thought about it, attributed it to some of the knee injuries we were having, you know, over the last couple seasons there. So there's so many things that we, like you said, we look at it, we say, man, that guy's, you know, he's doing exactly what he needs to do as the line is drawn. But there's so many intricacies within there that, again, this part of the year is about refine. So yes, the guy knows how to get to that point in the middle of the field, but what can we do to start to make him better and to even just work, you know, getting to that spot and just working the transition? Again, it doesn't have to be I'm running every single little bit of that line. It's the part that we need to fix.
No, and you bring up a great point where, you know, from a defensive standpoint, you know, how often did me as a coach or as a player, you know, we're often evaluating the big thing, right, is you're trying to break down the other team's protection. And we see maybe a particular offensive lineman struggles to, you know, move and then get back and chase a slant or whatever it is. And you find that in an opponent's secondary so quickly. But I don't know if we do we do that enough with our own players, I guess, is the question I'm asking when I say, you know, a physical error in our own team. You know, are we looking at our players' potential limitations and seeing, hey, you know, maybe we can't out-technique this. You know, maybe it's going to actually help us best to try to solve that issue. And most coaches, you know, aren't certified strength and conditioning coaches, or certainly not an athletic trainer or a physiotherapist, although I'm sure there's some of them that are out there. But, you know, that's a great chance for us to work with our staffs and say, you know, like, hey, you know, I really need this player to be able to play in these positions. You know, you don't need to know the technical terms. You don't need to be an expert, but, you know, what can we do to address these? And like I said, the conversation I was having, the coach said that the strength and conditioning staff, and again, this was at a college, like they were fired up because like they were getting brought in as part of the process to help solve this challenge. And I think that's a great way for coaching staffs to interact with each other and talk to, you know, the athletic trainer, hey, you know, what can we do to help this player bend a little more, or this player is struggling in your case with some of these snappy rotational movements coming in and out of breaks, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Is it, you know, I don't know, hip stability or spinal movement or core strength? There's so many different things, and we're not going to be experts in all areas, but it allows us to open up our web of how can I make this guy the absolute best possible. And I just think it's an area that, you know, we got to look at our guys is are they physically able to really do the technique well, or, you know, and I hate to use the analogy, right, they're players, they're not machines, they're not robots, but, you know, if we kind of upgrade the car a little bit, if we give it a new engine, we give it a new suspension system, we do some physical stuff, maybe the technique that he's been struggling to learn all season becomes much, much easier for him, and that could be a great fix, is addressing those physical components. And, you know, in this part of the season when you're trying to cut things down, again, maybe it is some yoga and some flexibility work. Maybe it is some basic strength training to keep their power and strength where it's at, that's more needed than, like, you know, I don't know, 30 more reps of 7-on-7 to make sure he knows the correct 3 deep drop.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I think sometimes when we see those things happen, we mistake it to an assignment error, a tactical error, something to that effect. And so it's, I mean, when you get to this time of the year, and especially if you go into the postseason, the level of competition across the board is elevated because obviously the best teams are moving on. So they're looking for those little things. The best coaches out there are looking for those little things they can take advantage of and find those opportunities. So if you've seen that be an issue throughout the season, if you're looking at your film in a way that breaks it down into segments instead of, you know, bigger picture plus or minus, you start to solve those issues. I mean, it's great. If you've had your team is on a roll and you're moving through the season and it's always plus, 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 I guarantee there's something in there that maybe because everything's going right that you're missing. And I would encourage you to break things down. I'm going to give you a couple examples, but I don't think it has to necessarily be tied to this. But I think if you break down a play into certain components of what you're going to look at, it starts to help you focus in on the areas where you do need to get better and helps you really get to, like we said, asking the right questions so you can come up with a prescriptive solution and how to improve a certain part of, you know, whether it's a tactic or a scheme, whatever it might be. So I'll use some things from the offensive side of the ball. And starting with the offensive line, we kind of broke it down into three phases of every single play. And it was footwork, fit, and finish. So we were looking at, did he take the correct footwork to get to his assignment? Did he apply the right fit with his hands, with his shoulder, whatever it might have been? And was he then able to finish the block once he got into that correct fit? And so very easily we see where maybe the breakdown is occurring when we're able to narrow it down to those things. And, you know, we would hope at this time of the year our footwork is very sound. I mean, it very may well come into, you know, the finish part of it. Right. Same thing. We applied that as we were going through and thinking about how we could break this down. And I want to say we did this exercise when I became the offensive coordinator at BW, so somewhere around 2010, you know, what were we going to do for the backs? And as we kind of applied the same thing, footwork, fit, and finish for the back. Footwork is obvious. The fit was where he was inserting into, you know, the blocking scheme, making sure that he used his vision correctly and was going to the right place. And then, you know, all his finishing moves to be able to get yards after contact, et cetera. And then if it was he was blocking, and it just went back to kind of the same things as was applied to the offensive line. Receivers is something I learned from Dub Maddox. We borrowed what he calls his E4 system for receivers, and it was explode, which meant they were going to get a good leg drive off the line. He didn't want to see his players basically having to sink into a position to explode off the line, and he didn't want to see false steps. And, you know, he showed me right away. It was like up to, depending on the player, up to 0.4, but usually around 0.2 seconds where they were losing on the line of scrimmage. I mean, you turn a 4.6 guy into a 4.8 or a 4.8 into a 5 real easily. So that was important. We looked at that. Obviously, I mean, we'd handle it differently. We didn't see a lot of press, but the exit was the next part, which would involve some of those moves with either, you know, the hands or the feet, but essentially releasing that defender. The engage part was the next E, and engage for blocking was obvious, kind of more of that fit. For the passing plays, engage was the break and making the correct break, and in the extend was essentially the finish. So finishing the block or finishing the play was extend, you know, fitting into that E4 framework. And then for quarterbacks in the passing game, it was, for me, always I couldn't come up with a cool, you know, acronym with the same letters. It was just release, accuracy, and decision. And release kind of was made up of his footwork, and it was on the clock. So release was always that our passes were well calibrated. So for example, I wanted the quick game thrown in 1.5 or less. I wanted his rhythm route somewhere between a 1.8 and a 2.0. That's where he's planting on the last step of the drop and throwing to a route. Intermediate routes would be a hitch up, which would be somewhere in the 2.2 to 2.4 range. And then if it was a second hitch, it was somewhere in the 2.6 range, and then getting out of the pocket. So that was the release part. The accuracy was obvious, and we didn't count just drop for us in the right spot was an accurate ball. We didn't count that against him. But if it was one of those things where a receiver had to go make an incredible catch or had to catch it behind him, you know, that's where we had some issues with accuracy. And a lot of that then would go, some of it to footwork, some to what he was doing with his upper body and his arm and his release. And we could kind of pinpoint then if there were some accuracy problems. And then certainly decision is the most important part. And obviously, did he get his eyes at the right place? Did he see things the right way? Did he go to the right place with the ball? So in looking at those things, we're able to break it down and better find the problem to be able to come up with better answers in practice and be, like you said, like a doctor, be prescriptive. Make sure we're giving him the right prescription there to improve.
No, and I love those ideas. I love that you included decision-making into the quarterbacks, and you touched on it with the running backs as well, because, you know, the old line, the opponent gets a vote that, yeah, he's, you know, he may be tracking to the inside cheek of the tight end or whatever it is, but he's also got to read the defense and then make the appropriate choice. So I think that's where we get into those perceptual things is, you know, did the quarterback or the running back see the defender? Did he make the right read for the situation? We all have guys in our coaching careers, right? Great athletes who sometimes struggle to make the right decision in game speed. And I think when you separate, say, those decision-making fits or those, were you correct in reading the flow of the linebackers and where you inserted into the offensive line, you know, that can be very different than simply your ability to make a great cut. And so those guys that have the physical tools or have gone through some of the technical training and they know how to put their foot in the ground and make those right cuts, you know, they need those types of repetitions. And I think that's where you can, again, be prescriptive with your drills, where those guys don't necessarily need the traditional drill. They need more situational training. And it doesn't always have to be in teamwork, you know, but where they're getting looks at maybe multi-level reads and they're getting looks at finding flow back. factors in making those correct decisions. So when we get into perceptual, when we get into decision making, you know, it's going to influence your drill choice, like we talked about. And the best way to help those players is to give them more of a situation and less of a drill that's going to address that issue. Now, to your point, if you're not cataloging those, then it's really tough to be prescriptive. You know, we in the advanced tackle system have been big proponents of grading the tackle, and we give within our system an outline of the basic level of how to do it. And because every coach I know, you know, writes notes on their grade sheet. But if you're just writing notes and you're not cataloging them, for me at least, you know, you're not actually putting them in some sort of database, how are you sure how often you've been giving that correction, if that correction has been lingering for 3 to 4 weeks? So by putting it into whatever kind of database spreadsheet software you use, you can start to go back and look and say, man, you know, with my quarterbacks, the issue 50% of the time I had written down was decision making, and if in a made up example, well, that's clearly going to change how we program practice that week, right? Or, hey, man, I've been telling Billy, you know, that this has been a reoccurring theme, and it's been 4 weeks in a row. It doesn't seem to be getting any better. Obviously, what I'm doing in trying to train him and fix it isn't working. I might need some new things. So I think that those specifics are great, but you got to kind of catalog them and database them. Because if it's just notes scribbled on a piece of paper, and then those grade sheets, you know, kind of go into the old file cabinet, and we're not tracking kind of those 3-4 week averages and what they look like, we may be finding ourselves digging a hole where we're just writing the same thing over and over again. And that can be a huge issue, and why one of the reasons we're so big on the databasing of how we're actually going to grade it, so we can find the most common errors by player, by position group, or whatever it is, and address those as quickly as possible.
And I think, too, as you think of this, it definitely is an individualized approach for your players. But think of this for the down-the-line guys. When you think, well, you know, I'm really working something that's just particular as one player, everybody's going to benefit from learning that segment of the skill. It's not going to hurt your players who are down the line. I mean, it may, you know, make them aware of that earlier. You know, if it's a senior who's been making this error, who has a physical issue or perceptual issue, it brings it to the forefront for these guys. So it's something they've experienced, something they're able to get better at, and will benefit them in the future.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if we were in agreement, right, that there's kind of these four areas and any four of them can let you down, well, the earlier, to your point, our guys know this, the more they're clued into the totality of what makes a great performance. And I think that's how we create the best future players, right? Is that they understand that, like, you know, as much as we love the off-season weight room, no amount of lifting weights is going to teach you the scheme better or help your decision-making get any better. Like, that's going to be the stuff that we have to do when we get out in our team situations, in our training, in our 7-on-7, in our team practice, or whatever that is. And as much as we want to, you know, work on our technique when we're out on the field, if you have a really bummy ankle or you have bad hip flexibility, you know, we have to make sure we're working on that in other areas, because they're all connected ultimately to one finite great performance.
And this doesn't take a lot more in terms of work. I mean, if you are a plus minus coach or a 0-1-2 or whatever, you have a system. I'm not saying to change that. I'm just saying in your notes section, you know, put right across that column, if you have a section for notes, put technical, tactical, physical, perceptual, and make a check under there. Just so you know, this is here, it was a minus, here's where it occurred. And, you know, you can go back and it'll signal you, it'll show you where the red flags are that, hey, we've got an issue right here. This is coming up time and time again. And, you know, it's, again, it's not about adding to your work or trying to create a new workflow right now. It's just making sure that you're really honed in on here's what the issue is, and then thinking about what's the solution.
Yeah, that's a key point. Well, I may have gotten long-winded with my definitions. I think most everyone would agree when you're watching the film, most of the time they jump out to you. as what the air was. You're going to see it pretty quick. And that's why we love the idea, like you said, of simple check boxes, or, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, or use a one letter abbreviation that you can just tag on to your existing grade, where you just, you know, hit, hey, the one letter, or you check the one box. And then at the end of it, you can run some quick percentages. Definitely not trying to make life more difficult, actually trying to speed up the process, because we think that by adding that simple thing during film, which doesn't take much time because you're probably seeing it anyway, now you're just tracking it, you're going to be able to assign better drills, which actually saves you time in the long run. So for the extra, you know, I don't know, we'll say 5 seconds that it takes for you to check a box with a pen and paper, or to hit one more key on your spreadsheet grading situation, you're going to save that time back on the end when you're identifying the right drills, you're fixing challenges, and you're getting on and off the field in an appropriate time frame. So it doesn't have to overwhelm you by any stretch of the imagination. We're just trying to give a deeper understanding, hopefully, so that coaches have a great grasp of it, and that makes the implementation as seamless and easy as possible.
We did mention some things from our advanced tackling system in this podcast. You could check that out at footballdevelopment.com. Register with your email and you can get 3 free videos. Our shoulder tackle system is there for free, 100% free, by signing up. And you can also check out our systems for blocking and defeating blocks there as well. Again, that's footballdevelopment.com. If you have any questions or comments for either Andy or I, you can find Andy on Twitter at USAFootballMT. I'm on Twitter as at Coach K Grabowski. And our Twitter handle for football coaches, which the guys on our team run, is at FBDEV Coach. Some great content there every day. Links to podcasts, to articles, to things that are worthwhile right now in season. Be sure to check that out. Andy, I appreciate your time again. Coaches, good luck here as you head into the final drive here in the regular season. Best of luck as you face your rivals and you make your playoff push.
Keith, thanks for having me. Always great to chat. Coaches out there, good luck. It's starting to turn that time of year, so bring your rain gear, bring your cold weather gear, and it definitely feels like football.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.